I want to officially welcome everyone to today's Kluwin Internet Seminar on Staying Connected with Kluwin, which has been sponsored by the EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation. My name is Jean Valance, and I'll be serving as the moderator and instructor for today's presentation. I'm going to go through a couple of housekeeping and reminder items where we give a few latecomers another minute or so to join us, and then we'll begin the official presentation. As with all Kluwin Internet seminars, individual participants will be expected to manually move through the materials at verbal cues from our instructors. So if you haven't done so already, you'll need to open up a copy of the presentation materials. When you registered for today's seminar, you would have been directed to a seminar homepage, which contained a description, the title, links to my contact information in my bio, as well as links to download the PowerPoint presentation materials as PDF or PowerPoint. Or there's an option on that very same page, if you click the button on the left that says Go to Seminar, you'll actually be able to load those slides in a web browser window. So if you haven't done so, refer back to your reminder or confirmation emails with those links and be sure to pull up those slides. I'm going to ask everyone to move along from the title slide, which is slide number one, on to slide number two so we can cover a few other important housekeeping items. For those of you who are joining us by phone, we would ask that you mute your phone lines. You can either use your own mute button or simply hit star six to mute your line. At times for Q&A, which you guys are welcome to ask questions at any point throughout today's session, if you're on the phone, you can unmute or use the pound six command to unmute your line and feel free to ask a question or make a comment. But until then, please remain muted. It's star six to mute, pound six to unmute. Don't put the call on hold. There could be background music or commercials that are disruptive. And again, if you're just joining us, I'm on slide number two, the housekeeping slide. Again, questions and answers, we'll be free to ask them at any point. I do have some time reserved at the end to go over any remaining questions or comments, but again, feel free to ask them at any point in time. Those of you who are streaming the audio online, you won't have the chance to actually ask the question out loud, but instead you'll be using a series of icons that are located along the top of your slides in your web browser window. As I mentioned, each participant will move through the materials at my verbal cues. If you're looking at the slides in a web browser window, you'll see a series of numbered links that appear on the left side. You can use those to jump around. Again, I'm on slide number two. Or you could use the orange icons along the top of the slide. The single arrow pointing to the right will advance one slide. The single arrow pointing to the left will move you backwards one slide. As long as your pop-up blockers have been disabled, if you click the orange button with a question mark icon, a new window will open up, which will allow you to type up your comments or questions. Again, you can ask those questions electronically at any point, and in fact, I would encourage you to type them up as soon as they occur to you, and then I'll read them out loud on your behalf and respond to the questions during the presentation. I think I kind of already covered how we're going to move through this slide. I want to remind everyone that today's session is being recorded, and within 1 to 2 weeks, you will automatically receive an email with the information on how to download or replay the recording. You're also welcome to forward this session on to anyone that you think will find it useful. If you're interested in more of the Internet seminars that we've already offered and recorded on Kluwin, there's a link on slide number two, which is a link back to the Kluwin archive page, which has, I believe, over 430 different trainings that we've provided through Kluwin over the past 12 years. So with that, again, thank you to everyone who's kept their phones muted. I'm going to move on to slide number three, which is the official begin of today's presentation, which is staying connected, and we're going to cover new ways to follow Kluwin. As I mentioned, my name is Jean Valant, and I work here in the EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation. And I'm going to ask everybody to move along to slide number four, which is an outline of today's presentation. We're going to cover a little bit of background so you can understand who I am, what my office does, and provide a couple of important disclaimers to keep in mind as I go through our materials today. Then we're going to talk about some of the many ways that we share information via the Kluwin website and as well as through my office. There are newsletters and internet seminars, which you're participating in one today. But we also realize that there's a lot of resources and information that we have on Kluwin, and we push it out to the public in many different ways. And unfortunately, not everybody knows what many of these new tools are. It might be a technology or an approach to managing information that you're just not familiar with. So we decided to host this to sort of introduce people who are not familiar with these new information exchange tools to the idea and kind of explain what they are, how they work, and most importantly, what we're doing with Kluwin through these tools. So we're going to talk about things like RSS feeds, which will cover news items and podcasts, We'll look at social and professional networks because, believe it or not, Kluwin is actually on those networks, and you can connect with us through them. And then we'll have, again, some time for questions and closing comments. If you already know what an RSS feed is, you already use them, you already are on Facebook and use LinkedIn to connect with people, this is probably not the seminar for you, but I would encourage you to stay on because you still might find out a few pieces of information of what we offer through Kluwin and how you can interact with us that you were not aware of. But for those of you who really don't know, have never heard of a hashtag, don't understand what it means to like or follow somebody, we're going to explain the basics and then show you how you can stay connected with us at Kluwin through these tools. So I'm going to move along to slide number 5, which is a background. A lot of times people know that the Kluwin website exists, they're aware that there's a lot of information out there, but they don't really know who the people are or who the organization is behind the website. So the Kluwin website, which is short for the Cleanup Information Network, is actually managed by a group here at EPA known as the Technology Innovation and Field Services Division, and that's where I work. And for the last 20 years, this group of individuals really have been working hard to promote innovative and cost-effective tools, whether it's a technology or a methodology, to characterize and clean up hazardous waste sites. And in order to promote these ideas and tools, they develop and deliver classroom as well as online training, like our internet seminars. We offer technical support, so we may go out to a site and actually work with the staff on the site, physically trying out new technologies or going through their site sampling plans. We also support partnerships with other groups that do the same thing, that try to look at important cleanup issues, develop documents, and provide training. So groups like the Interstate Technology and Regulatory Council, or ITRC, as well as the Superfund Research Program, and many others. And then we try to share a lot of the information that we're able to gather and develop through these mechanisms through websites, case studies, databases, newsletters, and more. So one of our most popular avenues for outreach is the Cleanup Information Network, or Kluwin. So I move on to slide number 6, which is just a continuation of the background. Now, the old model for the web used to be I was a webmaster, I put information up on my website, and you, who was looking for information, would come to my website and look at the information I provided. But now the web has changed. It's grown. It's developed into something completely different. And in fact, most of you may already be aware of and are actively part of the new web, which is commonly referred to as Web 2.0. There are newer versions of the web as well, but we're not going to talk about those. We're going to focus on Web 2.0. And the key words here is that the web is now a dynamic thing. People, visitors, users like yourselves are empowered with the ability to publish and share information via the web and network and connect with individuals. So there are YouTubes and resources. If you want to learn more about Web 2.0, you simply go to Google or take a look at this YouTube video. But we're here to kind of talk about that change in the web and the new ways that we can actually interact with you as well as your ability to connect with us via these new websites and tools online. I want to be sure, though, there's a couple of particular products, services, or websites that I'll be talking about, and it doesn't necessarily imply EPA's endorsement for any particular product. I've just mentioned them as an example or services that are available to anyone to use. So I'll move along to slide number 7. Again, this is just a graphical reinforcement of what I just mentioned. The web is now empowering individual users from all over the world to share information, videos, pictures, knowledge through the internet, and they can connect with one another and build upon those connections. And basically, the key goal behind today's presentation is to talk about how you, as well as myself and Kluwin, can actually be part of this information exchange so that I can get my information in your hands and you can actually share it to your networks via the web. So let's move along to slide number 8, which is looking at some of our resources such as newsletters and live events. If you look at slide number 8, there's a screenshot of the homepage of Kluwin. And a few years ago, we actually did a redesign of the website and tried to make important information readily accessible. So I want to call your attention to that screenshot and specifically point to the yellow navigation bar that appears on the left side. And it actually says staying connected on the very top of that bar. So you'll see icons to some of our social and professional networking presences as well as many of the things we'll talk about today. And as we go through each area, I'll try to kind of reinforce where you can find it on the Kluwin homepage. So for the newsletters and live events, on the bottom of that yellow bar, I have a red arrow pointing to it, you'll see an icon for live events as well as an icon for one of our newsletters, TechDirect. So you can jump to them right from the homepage. Moving on to slide number 9. Through Clue-In, we've actually developed and distribute four different newsletters. In the past, they were distributed both electronically as well as print, but given the digital communication and the need to be more cost-effective when we're sharing information, we're really focusing on delivering all of our information and newsletters electronically. One of our most popular newsletters is Tech Direct, which goes out on the first of each month, where we look at upcoming training opportunities, new publications, important conferences, and other web resources that we think will be of interest to the hazardous waste cleanup community. And you can sign up for that to receive that each month for free. We have another more focused technical newsletter that comes out bi-monthly called Technology News and Trends, and that's referred to here as TNT. And that will specifically look at case studies and applications of technologies at hazardous waste sites. The Technology Innovation News Survey, or TINS, comes out on a monthly basis, and that's going to look at, in addition to the federal business opportunities, or FedBizOps, which is a weekly newsletter, they're exploring opportunities to actually engage in cleaning up hazardous waste sites. They're looking at it from the business perspective of where there are technology needs, where there are opportunities to develop or engage with partners who need cleanup or characterization technologies at their sites. Again, all of these newsletters are available for free, and you can subscribe to or unsubscribe to any of them from the URL that appears at the top of slide number 9, which is just clueIn.org/newsletters. Moving on to slide number 10. Without a doubt, one of our most popular resources on Clue-In are our internet seminars. And if you don't know what that is, you're on one right now. These are our free online training sessions that are delivered each month. We do roughly 3 to 4 per week, so it's not quite one every day, but we deliver about 120 live online events each year. And when we deliver these types of trainings, they may cover technical training, where we're looking at a specific remedial or clean or characterization technology. They may be case studies, where we look at a particular site where they applied a number of technologies or methodologies, and we talk about what worked and what didn't work. We may look at new approaches or try to talk about best practices. There was recent ones on green remediation and how you can reduce your site's carbon footprint. And then we always try to push for innovative and tools and approaches, as well as to talk about new research opportunities. And again, we partner with groups like ITRC and the Superfund Research Program to try to develop and deliver these types of free online training events. Participants like yourself can sign up for free to take these sessions, and they can participate either by phone or by streaming your audio online. Most of the sessions are recorded and are available for people to download and replay after the fact. I'm going to move along to the next slide, which is slide number 11. And this is an area of on Clue-In that is actually pretty useful and unfortunately sometimes gets buried. It's our courses and conferences page. We develop and deliver a lot of materials ourselves on Clue-In through our internet seminars. However, we know that there are a lot of other conferences and training opportunities that we either can't host on Clue-In as a seminar, or we can't necessarily promote as a government agency, but it's still useful information, and people who are part of the hazardous waste cleanup community may want to participate or attend these training events or conferences. So we have an online sort of directory or calendar that anybody can submit a conference or training opportunity to be published there. And if you simply go to the Clue-In homepage, you'll find it under the training and events area. There's a link for courses and conferences. And again, anybody can fill out a form and have it populated, and we provide a description, the date, the time, the location, and a link where you can learn more. We'll move along to slide number 12. So we have these newsletters that we send out each month. We have training that we deliver almost every day, and we have a sort of an online calendar of other opportunities and events you might be interested in. How can you stay connected with all of them? Well, many of you may already be signed up for our monthly newsletter, like Tech Direct, and if you sign up for Tech Direct, each month you'll get an email which will highlight some of our upcoming internet seminars. So you can be one of the first people to learn about the opportunities and register for them. You can also submit courses and events, so if your organization is sponsoring one or you're participating in one. Again, we rely upon our user community and our visitors to let us know about other events, so anybody can fill out the form and let us know if there's another event or conference. And they can be public, they can be private, we're just simply providing a listing of events that might be of interest to the hazardous waste community. You can also suggest a topic for future internet seminars. We try to provide the sessions based off of interest, but you know, if there's something out there that you've taken training, you've heard one idea expressed, and you'd really like to see a whole other seminar delivered on this, or perhaps there's a completely brand new technology or a completely off-the-wall approach that you heard someone talk about and you want to know if there's a training about it, go ahead and fill out that form. Send an email to me or any one of my partners here in TIFSI, and we would love to be able to look at your needs and then try to deliver seminars on those topics in the future. We'll move along to slide number 13. Now we're going to talk about some things that many of you might not know about or haven't been taking advantage of. Just newsletters, online seminars. I think that those are our approaches and information sources that many of our users and site visitors are aware of and take advantage of. So the focus, though, today is really to talk about what you're not doing now. What might you not be aware of? So on slide 13, we're going to start talking about RSS feeds, news, and podcasts. And again, referring to the screenshot of the Kluin homepage, that yellow staying connected bar that appears on the right side of the screen, we have a red arrow that's pointing to a few icons that will highlight or focus on our podcast and RSS feeds. And don't worry, if you don't know what an RSS feed or a podcast is, I will explain. So let's move along to slide number 14. What exactly is an RSS feed? RSS is an acronym for Really Simple Syndication or Rich Site Summary. What does that mean, you ask? Well, it's an XML format for sharing news and other content on the web. And again, you don't need to worry about what XML is. Basically, an RSS feed is a stream of information. It's coming from a website and it needs to be directed somewhere. So users can actually subscribe to these feeds of information from various websites, and then manage those feeds of information using browsers, readers, or things called aggregators. And we'll talk about those in just a second. But the bottom line is that RSS feeds allow users to decide how and when they receive information about a website. So let's move on to slide 15 to kind of talk about how this changes what you do. On the right side in the yellow box, the traditional way to get information from a website in the old web model, individual users would go to various websites. So one of you might go to EPA to look up information on a regulation. And then you might go to Kluin and look for example applications of sites where they've used this technology that was just going under regulation. And some of you might even go to TrainX, which is the training exchange, and look for classroom opportunities to learn more about this new regulation or technology. But it required you to go visit all of these sites and look up information. You might, if you have the ability, also sign up for email alerts and newsletters, but that depends on what the site and organization offers. Now, with the added advantage of using RSS feeds in the Web 2.0 model, you as the user actually can tell those websites, send your information and updates to me, and you can manage it in an aggregator, which is that little blue icon with the flames coming off of it, so that all the information streams are coming to you rather than you running out and looking for the information sources. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to unmute to ask them or type up your questions or comments electronically using the question mark icon at the top. I'm going to move along to slide number 16, and that's just a screenshot of what RSS feeds look like. Really, the only thing that this is going to enforce is on the left side, RSS feeds, they're codes. They are pieces of information. They're data from websites. So if you actually looked at the code of an RSS feed, it may look very ugly. Depending on your web browser and your setup, if you're able to actually pull up an RSS feed through a browser, what you'll see is just a running list of content from a website, and that's most likely going to be arranged in chronological order with the most recent additions at the top. So if we move along to the next slide, slide number 17, how exactly do you use this? This sounds pretty cool. Okay, maybe it'll be less work for you to stay on top of all of these information sources, but what exactly do you do? How do you subscribe to these things? First, you'll need a tool to read the RSS feed. As we just showed, it's basically raw code. So you need either a web browser or separate software to read these codes, and that separate software is oftentimes called an aggregator. And there are two ways you could go about actually reading feeds. In the most simple method, you could simply go to the page or the URL that has the feed and then read it whenever you want so that you can see the running list of updates rather than sort of moving around and checking our calendar and looking at the live events and looking at the new publications and clicking on many pages on Kluin. You could come to one feed and look at all of the updates we've made to this site in one place. more advanced than what most people who use feeds do, will use an aggregator and actually subscribe to these feeds and then customize how the information is displayed. So they don't have to go to the websites again. The websites come to them. And we're going to look at this in more detail. Moving on to the next slide, slide 18. This slide just lists a few of the tools, either readers, aggregators, browsers you could use to read an RSS feed. So again, in the most simple model, a web browser can read an RSS feed. However, there are many browsers out there, and your individual organization's IT settings may change and impact how the feeds are read, if they're read at all. So you could simply click on the link next to browser, which brings you to the Kluin overview page on RSS feeds, and try to pull up some of those feeds in a web browser window. But to really get the most advantage out of this approach, you're going to want to use either a web-based reader or a standalone reader or aggregator. So you could go to Google and use Google's Reader, assuming you have a Google account, and subscribe to a number of these feeds, and then log into Google and actually have all these information sources coming to one page. Again, rather than going to 10 different pages to look for updates, you can have those 10 pages of updates sent to you and managed in your Reader account on Google. And that's just one example. There are many others out there. We also have a list. You can go to Wikipedia and look at a comparison chart that looks across a wide variety of aggregators and readers that are out there. Slide number 19. So assuming you can figure out which tool you want to use, how exactly you're going to find these feeds? Not every single page offers them, but many do. And once you know what to look for, you might be amazed where you find them. There are dozens of icons that can be used on a website to represent an RSS feed. So you sort of have to train your eye to look for these feeds. There are also RSS feed directories. You can go online and actually search through phone books of RSS feeds. But you may or may not find your entry because it requires groups to actually add their feed into the phone book. So sometimes it's more important to just go to the website you look for information on a regular basis and try to find a feed icon. The more common icons that you'll see are the ones that are on the right-hand side. And without a doubt, they're usually orange. And the one towards the upper right corner that shows a little circle with two partial arcs radiating out of it, which is sort of indicating there's a signal broadcast, that's one of the most common icons you'll see for an RSS feed. So we're going to move on to slide number 20, and we're going to play a little game. Feeds, as I said, are everywhere, and if you know what to look for, you'll be amazed where you find them. So I know it's a screenshot of EPA's homepage, and it might be a little small and grainy, but I want you guys to take a look closely and tell me if you can find the feed on this page. And this is my first pop quiz today. There is an RSS feed readily available right from the EPA homepage. And if you can find the feed, feel free to take yourself off of mute. Again, it's #6 to unmute and let me know, or type up an electronic comment or question to let me know if you found it and where you think the feed is on the page. And it will be very helpful if I get anybody to respond either by phone or electronically if they think they see the feed. Remember, we're looking for one of those icons that we saw on the previous slide. And if you ever come to a page and you're not sure where you might find the feed, if you don't see an icon readily available or you can't identify a source, always take a look at their newsroom or their What's New pages, because if they have a feed, it's gonna definitely be listed there. Remember, these feeds are sources of information streams. So news feeds and What's New pages are where they're constantly pushing out information, so they'll almost always have a feed listed if they have one of those pages. Okay, and the actual answer, there is an RSS feed on slide 20. If we're looking at the image, that's exactly correct, from the U.S. Forest Service out in Golden, Colorado. If you're looking on the lower left corner of the page, under or right next to the green banner that says latest announcements, there's a small orange icon indicating there's an RSS feed. So what is that? The latest announcements is a little news block showing new updates or announcements from EPA, and right next to it they have an icon indicating there's a feed or stream of information from EPA that you can subscribe to. So good job. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next slide, which is slide number 21. This is a commercial website, environmentalexpert.com. Some of you may or may not be familiar with it. But people and organizations can actually identify technologies, services, meetings, documents, and list their information here. This page also has a feed on it. And I just wanted to indicate not only the government, they do feeds, but private sector does feeds as well. So I want, again, same pop quiz. Tell me where you see the feed on this page. Again, we're on slide 21, and there is at least one feed readily identified on this page. You can use the question mark icon or take yourself off of mute. This one is a little bit trickier because there are news tabs, there are events tabs. There might seem like a lot of places where it could be. So if anybody has found the feed on this page, go ahead and let me know where you see it. And on slide 21, this feed is actually located all the way in the top right corner. They have icons. There's a banner at the uppermost right corner that says find us on, and they have icons to Twitter, Facebook, and then they have an icon for their feeds, as well as their e-bulletins. So these RSS feeds are well established and integrated into most organizations' outreach tools. So if these groups or pages that you're interested in have newsletters, have email bulletins, if they're on Facebook or Twitter, the odds are they have a feed that you can subscribe to. So good job searching. Let's move on to slide 22. How exactly do you subscribe to the feed? Remember, the first step is to figure out how you're going to manage these feeds, because you can, in theory, subscribe to hundreds, if not thousands, of feeds if you like, and get information coming in from a variety of sources. And if you have a feed reader or aggregator, that'll really help maximize your ability to stay on top of that information. So once you've figured out what tool you're going to use, you've got the account set up, the process will vary depending on the specific tool that you're going to use, but basically you'll have to go to the page or source that provides the feed, and you'll click on the icon or click on the URL that has the feed. And you'll either have to copy and paste that link for the feed into your aggregator. You may, depending on your browser, be able to right-click on the link, and there'll be an option to subscribe. In fact, many of you may not even realize if you right-click on a link and saw the subscribe option what that does, but it's basically telling you I can manage this feed for you. But or in some cases, again, your tool will automatically recognize. So if you click on a link that's an RSS feed, whatever aggregator or reader you're using will automatically pick up on it and ask you if you want to subscribe. So you'll walk through the steps to do this. And then once you subscribe to the feed, you should then have the ability to tell it, or your feed reader or aggregator, how frequently should it look for updates, as well as do something pretty cool. A lot of these aggregators have the ability to perpetually search for terms. So you can actually subscribe to 100 different feeds and tell your aggregator, I'm interested in green remediation, and it will then alert you anytime it finds an item that contains that term. So it's sort of like having your own personal web searcher available 24/7. Let's move along to slide 23. So this is just a graphical illustration. It's just an example. Each browser and each aggregator is slightly different. But in this case, this is an earlier version of Internet Explorer where we had pulled up a feed. I was able to click the link at the top that said subscribe to this feed, and a dialog box pulled up. Internet Explorer knew how to read the feed and offered an ability to subscribe to it. So I was able to simply make sure that the name was proper, it was set up in the right folder, I clicked subscribe, and now when I go into my web browser, it's one of the feeds that I can pull up. I'll go on to slide number 24. So now hopefully you have a general understanding of what RSS feeds are. Again, they're sources of information from a website that you can then choose to subscribe to and receive and manage using a feed reader or aggregator. Cluin on slide 24 offers a number of RSS feeds. We have a general feed that talks about any new item or resource that we post on the website. We also have news feeds for some of our specific newsletters, such as TINS or the Fed Biz Ops. And if you're in the private sector and you want to look for business opportunities, receiving an alert as soon as a new opportunity is found could be a very useful tool. The same thing for the courses and conferences. We realize that there could be hundreds of events that could be scheduled nationwide, and it might be a bit much to kind of search through them. But if you want to stay on top of it, or perhaps your job is to help teach or tell people about other opportunities for learning, subscribing to that courses feed might be a useful tool. One of the most popular feeds that we have is our Clue-In Archives podcast feed, and that's pointed or highlighted with a green arrow on slide 24. And what is that? Well, let's move along to slide number 25. This is just a screenshot of what the podcast feed looks like. It's nothing fancy. It's pretty much what you saw before. It's just a running list of seminars. Remember, we said that we offer online training and we record them. And we do this almost every single day. We offer a training, so multiple times per week we're putting up recorded versions of earlier seminars. And unfortunately, I only have a newsletter that goes out once a month, so it might take me 30 days before I'm able to tell people about a new training opportunity or new archive that's available. So in this world, when I take an RSS feed and I use it just to tell people about new audio files that I have available, that's called a podcast. A podcast is simply an RSS feed or stream of information about new audio files that are available from a website. And in this case, for Clue-In, we also include the accompanying slides. So when you're looking at the screenshot on slide 25, the first entry are the slides and the second entry is the audio file. So if you want to learn as soon as we have new archive seminars available, you can subscribe to our podcast and receive those notifications. If you want to learn about particular training opportunities or seminars on a particular topic, again, you could use an aggregator, subscribe to our podcast, and then tell it, look, search through these podcasts for the following term, and it would pull those resources out as soon as they became available. Moving on to slide number 26, finding a podcast. You can use a reader or an aggregator to manage your podcast. Some people feel more comfortable and may actually already do this using audio applications like iTunes. iTunes has the opportunity in their iTunes store to actually search through a big directory of podcasts and subscribe to them. So you can actually go into iTunes and you can search for Clue-In and find us and subscribe to our podcast there. But the principle is the same. It's really just reading all of those information updates that we're pushing out on the podcast feed and then making it available and accessible to you in a nice graphical interface. Moving right along to slide number 27. So we're going to talk now about social and professional networks. And I want to be sure that everyone's got this idea that websites and organizations have pieces of information that they're constantly generating and they want to share with the public. And so they use feeds, RSS feeds, to push out their information. And you, as the end user, have the ability to subscribe and manage these streams of information using a variety of tools. The RSS feed readers and aggregators are that process in the simplest form. Now we're going to look at the same idea with a little bit more dimension to it by looking at social and professional networks. So let's move along to slide number 28. What exactly is social and professional networking? Again, if you use Facebook, if you're on LinkedIn, if you're on Twitter, you already get what this is. So for those of you who don't use this or may have family members or coworkers that do but really don't engage yourself, social and professional networks are basically web-based environments where an individual or an organization can create some sort of a representation of themselves. And then they can connect with other people who have representations in that same system. And then that allows others to look at the connections and build upon the connections and share information. So in essence, these tools and websites allow people to connect with one another through the web in some sort of an organized fashion. And that's all the techie term, but if we move on along to slide number 29, there are hundreds of social and professional networking sites out there. There's a link on slide 29 to the listing in Wikipedia, and it's not exhaustive, but there's a lot of them out there. Social and professional networking sites can be used to communicate and share updates. So if you use Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace, you may be familiar with that process. Sometimes they're specifically set up to help you share or communicate about a particular file type or media. So Flickr is a social networking site just for sharing photos and videos. YouTube, a social networking site just for sharing videos. SlideShare, just for sharing presentation files. Scribd is for document sharing. So there's a bunch of different communities and networks out there. There's a couple of really great videos that can kind of teach you the principles of social networking on YouTube. And I encourage you to watch them later for more reference. Move along to slide number 30. A lot of times when I talk with individuals who don't use social professional networking, it's because they don't think it matters to them. And on slide 30, there are some statistics that I would argue to anyone who says, well, that's what my niece or nephew does, or that's what I use to stay in touch with my friends outside of work. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on at work. I just want to take a look at some numbers to impress upon you the significance of what these networks represent. And the statistics that are on slide 30 are from 2010. So they're 2 years old, and I have newer numbers, and you can imagine how much bigger these numbers are. But just to give you an order of magnitude, there are 100 million worldwide views per day of videos on YouTube. More people use Facebook than there are residents in the United States. And in 2010, Twitter expected to process 10 billion tweets this year. The statistics can go on, but basically more than 70% of the U.S. population that's connected to the Internet in some way is a member of Facebook and uses it to share information. And that information is not just on the personal focus. It's actually for the complete gamut of a person's interests, which also include professional and academic purposes. So these are hopefully numbers that will kind of put things in perspective, that there's a massive communication and sharing of information that's happening via the web. And all we're doing here at Clueinn is recognizing that users are part of these communities, they're connecting with one another and sharing information, and we want to join in on that conversation. So let's move on to slide 31. It's some considerations when you're talking about social networking. They're not just communication platforms and a way to kind of stay in touch with your old college roommates. They're more. And in newer newer cases, a lot of individuals are starting to see a blend of their personal and professional lives. Remember, as I said, there are interest groups and items that may appear on Facebook that would have a professional interest to me. There are magazines and organizations that I connect with for my work purposes that have presences on Facebook, but I have a personal Facebook account. So if I like them or follow them in one of these social networks, I'm using my personal or person-based account to follow a professional interest. So there can be some blending. And I'm not here to teach you how to use Facebook. Do know that there are controls in each of these services to manage who can see what and what information is available. And it's up to the end user to be responsible. But the point of the matter is people expect and have, in especially in recent years, have sort of grown up with this ability to have instant access to information in a personally selected way. They expect to be able to click on a link. They expect to be able to pull it up on their mobile device or smartphone. They have information networks that are huge, and information can spread very rapidly. That's where the phrase viral goes. If a video goes viral, it's hundreds of thousands of people around the world are sharing it and talking about it. And it's important to realize the power of professional and social networks because of these components. Let's move along to slide 32. How do you use these? Many of the services actually will allow you to publicly, anonymously search through, browse, and access their files, depending on the user settings. So most of you may already be familiar with going to YouTube and looking at and playing videos back. And that's, those videos have been posted by a user that's a part of the YouTube community and set it so that anybody could find it and publish it. Same goes for Flickr and many of the others. However, most of them, to actually truly engage and contribute to the information on the network, will require you to go to the site and create some sort of an account that's going to be verified. Then you're expected to manage your profile, which is your representation of yourself or your organization, and you'll have to think about representing the individual versus the org or your company, your professional versus your personal representations. And then the expectation is you're going to contribute information back to this online community. Are you going to post information? Are you going to share links? Are you going to comment on other people's items or postings? And then ultimately, they want to see you build networks and connect with other users by commenting, by sharing, by emailing. And that's the beauty of these things. They allow users to share information with networks even though they may not be physically located near each other. Let's move along to slide 33. Does EPA use social networking? You bet, and they've been doing it for many years. If you actually come to the EPA's homepage, now that you kind of have trained eyes to look for icons, you'll notice right under our administrator's image, you'll see links to her Twitter and Facebook accounts. At the very bottom of every EPA page, there are links to not only our RSS feeds and our podcasts, but EPA's Facebook pages, YouTube page, Twitter accounts, as well as our Flickr account. You'll also notice throughout the EPA webpage there are links to share, and that's the image that appears on the, the right side of the screen that will allow users to very quickly, with one or two clicks, take information from the EPA website and share it on their own profiles or networks, such as Facebook or Twitter. So let's go along and take a little closer look at some of these tools. On slide 34, Twitter. If you don't know what Twitter is a website that allows users to post short status updates, so short messages that are between, bear with me, if it's 160 or 140 characters long. And these little messages or postings are referred to as tweets. So if you're a Twitter user, when you post content, you're tweeting. That's often referred to as microblogging, where you're just writing these short little status updates and sharing them with your network. It turns Twitter into a searchable database of what's happening right now. Anybody can go onto Twitter and search through the postings. They can look and see what conversations people are having, what are things that are appearing. It's actually been shown that information will show up on Twitter before news organizations get on site. There were cases where when the plane landed in the Hudson River in New York, people were tweeting about it before any of the major news outlets knew that it happened. People, when they create a Twitter account and start posting or tweeting, they're actually creating an RSS feed of their status updates. So people can then choose to subscribe or follow someone in Twitter so that when they log into Twitter, they'll see those information updates from the individuals that they're following. If someone finds a tweet from another user of interest, they have the ability to share it on their own page, and that's called retweeting. People can actually create conversations and track conversations across millions of users worldwide by using a hashtag, which is the pound sign. So if you use that pound sign with a particular phrase, it creates a searchable hyperlink. So any other user that uses the same phrase can be found and identified through the Twitter system. And they're estimating that there'll be about 1 billion users by 2013. So Twitter's just an RSS feed of a person or organization's post. Clueint, on slide number 35, now has a Twitter page, and we share information. We also retweet some posts from other organizations and partners that we think might be useful. If you move along to the next slide, slide number 35, if you want to connect with Clueint on Twitter, you'll need to have a Twitter account, first of all, and you can visit our Twitter page, which is twitter.com/EPA cleanup tech. We post there daily, at least one post per day, and to connect with us, you simply have to follow our page on Twitter. Once you've started following, our tweets will then start appearing on your Twitter homepage, and you can retweet, you can reply to our messages, or you can save our posts as some of your favorites. And we are looking to engage with our audience, so if you find a post of interest or you want to see more training or you have questions, feel free, go ahead and reply to the tweets, retweet them. The whole point is trying to engage with our users in a different way. Oh, and thank you for the clarification. With Twitter, it's 140 character max posting. Let's move on to slide number 37. Let's talk about Facebook. Facebook is similar to Twitter, but instead of just restricting you to posting these short little text-based messages, Facebook actually allows people to share a lot more information, but the principle is exactly the same. It was started in 2003 by a Harvard student. There was a big major motion picture developed about how he built this site. But it provides a website where individuals can come in and create a profile based on themselves. They can share information. They can connect and friend other people. They can schedule events and invite people to them. They can poll their friends. They can post videos and photos, and they can very quickly share information. And again, there are ways to create a profile for a person. There are ways to bring different people together in groups. And there are ways to create pages that are used to represent an organization, an idea, a place, etc. The stats for Facebook users are overwhelming, and this is an old statistic, but they average that people spend at least 1 hour per day using Facebook. And for most people, that's almost longer than they may spend on email. So just to give you an idea of the order of magnitude of how much people use Facebook. Let's move along to slide number 38. Because Facebook gives you that opportunity to post your own content, to follow other people, and there's a lot of different types of content you can put on Facebook, I just wanted to go back to that central idea we talked about throughout today's presentation of this feed or stream of information. When you come into your Facebook account and you look at your home page or your home tab, the lingo has changed over the years. But that home area on Facebook is just a collection of all of the status updates or feeds of information from your various friends, groups, or things that are around you. So again, it's the same thing as an aggregator or reader, but it's just taking information from a very specific way and providing it to you in the Facebook home environment. Move along to slide number 39. Clueinn also has a Facebook page. We have postings up there that, again, will mirror the same type of content we put up on Twitter. It will be upcoming training opportunities, new publications, interesting stories or news alerts from one of our partners. Let's move along to slide number 40. If you want to connect with Clueinn on Facebook, again, you need to have an account and be a Facebook user. You can then visit our page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/EPA Cleanup Tech. As I said, we post there daily, and you'd simply have to like the page on Clueinn, and at that point, our status updates will become visible to you on your home page when you log into Facebook. When you see our postings, again, it's not just a one-way stream. We don't want to just push out information to you. We also want to engage you, so we would welcome and encourage your comments, and you can type up a message and let us know or respond to something we post. You can like what we post, or more importantly, you can share what we post so that other users on Facebook that you're connected to will also see that very same information. Let's move along to slide number 41, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very similar to Twitter and Facebook, but think of it in the professional terms. It is a business-related social networking site. So this is what I mean when I refer to professional networking online. It's a little bit newer than some of the others. It doesn't have as many users, but it still claims, as of last year, to have 150 million users across the world. And it's very similar to Facebook. People will create profiles, but instead of it being a complete representation of themselves as a person, this is geared more towards their careers. So in my profile on LinkedIn, I'll have a description of my current job and my duties here. I'll include a link to my resume. I will be able to provide my work history. I can receive and provide recommendations to other colleagues, and I can also connect with other professional peers. Companies can also create profiles to represent their organization. They can post job openings, they can search for candidates, and vice versa, individual people can search for jobs that way. Let's move along on slide 42. There was a new feature that LinkedIn released just a few years ago, which allowed individuals to group themselves together in, what else, a group. And in these group areas or pages on LinkedIn, people could post questions and actually engage in discussions and pollings and dialogue with one another. So Clueinn actually has a group that we just published about 2 weeks ago on LinkedIn, where, again, you'll find similar postings about the types of resources and items that we make available through our newsletters, our internet seminars, other items of interest that our partners may share with us. The difference and one of the reasons why we also engaged in LinkedIn is that we recognize, and because of our Facebook and Twitter pages, we received a number of comments that people can't open those services on their work computers. They're actually blocked from going to Facebook while at work. And they asked us if we could join in on LinkedIn. So as a direct response, like 2 weeks after people asked us, we had a group page set up on LinkedIn so that now those individuals can get the same status and interact with us in the very same way on LinkedIn, which is a professional networking site that they can access while at work. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 43. If you want to connect with Clueinn on LinkedIn, it's very same process that you use for any of these networking sites. You'll need to have an account and have a profile. And in the case of LinkedIn, though, rather than liking us or following us, you'd actually have to search for the Clueinn group. We have a link to it here, but you can join the group. We post, again, daily on the discussion board there. And then once we post something, we would encourage you not just to look at what we're sharing, but comment on us. Like the post, share it with others, invite other network or other members of your network, other colleagues to join in on this. Because we really are looking to have this be a two-way source of information. We get information, we like to share it with the hazardous waste community at large. But if you're aware, if there's information to be corrected, if you have questions or are looking for documents or publications or information or case studies, go ahead and use this discussion board to pose those questions, because that's why we've set them up, to make it easier to connect with us. Let's move along to slide number 44. I also wanted to remind you that when you're looking at websites now, you don't necessarily have to log into these environments just to start sharing the resources. Many times there are links or icons embedded on other websites that you can use to very quickly share information on your own networks. So, you know, when you go to a website, now with your new vision, you'll start scanning and looking for those RSS feed icons, and you may look for Twitter and Facebook icons. You may also want to keep your eyes peeled for the share icon or application. And there's a little snapshot of it. The upper images on slide 44 show the Kluin share icon as well as the EPA share icon. They're both on the far right side of each website. And if you click or hover your cursor on those share icons or applications, windows will open up, which will allow you to directly copy the content or whatever it is you were looking at. So that would include the page title, a text snippet, even images, and the URL, and post that directly to your network as a status update or a tweet or, you know, whatever appropriate phrase. In some cases, you can email them to other people. So you don't have to constantly log in and log out and copy and paste content or keep checking the Kluin page on Facebook. You can actually just navigate through the website, and if you find something of interest, you can use the share link to very quickly share it via your network. Let's move along to slide number 45. It is now 1:51, so I have about 9 minutes left for a scheduled presentation. This is your chance to ask questions, make any comments, make suggestions. We really would like to hear from you. This whole initiative was started as a response to people saying that they needed or wanted a better way to stay on top of our information. And they acknowledged that they were using these tools to share information with their friends or their colleagues, and we just wanted to join in on that information share. If you're on the phone lines, you can feel free to unmute by hitting #6. If you're listening to the audio online, you can stream the audio that way, but your questions, you can type them up electronically. And feel free to use that question mark icon to type them up. And if there are icons or images that you see on slide number 45 that you're not familiar with, please, by all means, feel free to ask what they are. If you have connected with or use another tool to share information related to cleaning up sites, by all means, tell us, let us know. We're here to try to engage and share information and connect with you. So if there's another way we should do it, if there's another source of information you think would be helpful, please let us know. Okay. I don't hear any comments on the phone lines, and I don't see anything coming up electronically. So with that, I'm going to move on. You can still keep typing. Don't stop typing if there's something. I've got a couple more slides to go. Let's move on to slide 46. And this is just to summarize. There are a lot of ways to stay connected with us at Kluin. There are real people like myself that do technical support. We teach classes. We write case studies. We write reports, and we document technologies and performance. We partner with other organizations to develop and share this type of information. So we have for years offered online newsletters and internet seminars, and what we're trying to do is use new tools to get that information out there in a better, smarter, faster way. So there are other things that you can choose to take advantage of that Kluin offers. So, for example, RSS feeds, which are streams of information. And we have many feeds if you want to learn just about recorded trainings, if you want to learn just about business opportunities, if you want to learn about particular initiatives that are very high priority like green remediation, you can pull in those streams of information and manage them using readers or aggregators. If you want to really stay on top of our online audio, a podcast, and using other tools like iTunes or other audio managers, we can help you kind of stay on top of free training opportunities that are out there. And we also have presences in social and professional networking sites like Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And so if you don't want to wait until the first of each month, or you want to find information that we might not necessarily post on Kluin, but still may be of interest, it's important. Go ahead, follow us, like us, connect with us, join us on one of these social networking sites, because there's a lot of information that we will be pushing out through those services that we may not be able to fit into each Tech Direct. So there may be things that we do on social networking that aren't necessarily shared through one of these other mechanisms. So we would encourage you to continue to connect with us in whatever way makes the most sense for you. And we really want to hear back from you as our visitors, our attendees, what makes sense for you and where you need information, how you're finding your information, and what we can do to continue to provide useful information for you in the hazardous waste cleanup arena. So I don't see any more online questions, so I'm going to move everybody to slide 47 and ultimately say thank you. I appreciate everybody taking their time. It was an hour to sit here to talk about all the newsletters and feeds and pages and accounts that we have. But hopefully this has helped explain a little bit of what's out there and some new ways that you might be able to connect and sort of stay on top of various websites and information sources. And ultimately, we hope that you'll be able to use these to connect with us on Clue-In. So with that, I'm going to move everybody to slide number 48 and remind you that there are a lot of resources and websites that I talked about throughout today's presentation. And on slide number 48, if you click the link to additional resources, you'll be able to see hyperlinks to the various accounts and pages and resources that I mentioned throughout today's session. If you're not at a computer with internet access right now, that's okay. You can go back to the seminar homepage, and the links button on the left side will bring you to this additional resources page, which will be live now and from this point forward. I would ask as well, if you can take a moment to fill out the second link on page 48, which is our short feedback form. I do read all of this, the feedback form submissions, so if you'd like to continue to at least see more internet seminars, if you'd want to see more sessions on areas of Clue-In, if you have more questions about how we do what we do or how certain things work, or if you want to see training on a particular topic, you know, use the feedback form. Let me know. If you thought this was totally unuseful, not useful at all, and you got all this, and we don't need to do any trainings like this in the future, that's fine, too. Go ahead and let us know. If you're looking for confirmation of your participation today for your own records, we don't offer CEUs or PDHs through Clue-In. However, many times our participants can get credit if they have a copy of their registration, a copy of the slides, as well as a copy of a confirmation message when you submit feedback. Sometimes the accrediting organizations will take that and give you credit for participating in our seminars. So if you fill out the feedback form, there's a box you can check to have a copy of your confirmation email that at least verifies that you did submit feedback for the session at the end of the seminar. And you can have that sent to you via email. If you share the line with a number of participants, once you fill out the feedback form for one person, there'll be links to let each person then hop on. And again, if you're not at a computer with internet access, those links are available on the seminar homepage. You can come back at a later time to fill out feedback. So slide 48 is the last slide that I have, and we are coming right up on our scheduled end time of 2. So again, I want to thank everybody who joined me today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to participate in this. I do hope that you found this to be a valuable expenditure of your time and that we will connect with you either through our feeds, podcasts, LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter accounts, and that we will hear from you sometime in the near future. So this will be the formal conclusion for today's seminar. Thank you all so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.